All right, let's get it started.
Yeah,
in here.
Sorry.
Right. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Actually Comics. I am Tristan.
And I'm Bob.
Yes. And today, I don't know. I feel like you do get it right, and I don't need to give you the positive reinforcement anymore, but I do it anyway. Listen, I'm just so proud of you, Bob.
I'm Bob. Yeah. Yep.
Congratulations. I don't know. Listen, man, I am not a professional. I do what I can here. These are the new comic book listings for September 9th of 2020. A whole bunch of fun stuff. Another batch of the big two. I enjoyed a lot of crap from both of those guys, so I was very happy with the superheroing output of this week. Really, really dug a lot of stuff. So I'm going to get to it because there's actually quite a bit to talk about, including some things that, you know, are kind of whatevers. But we need to tell you about them anyway.
It wouldn't be a week if there were not a handful of whatevers.
Some real big whatevers. One of the not whatevers is the Free Comic Book Day 2020, Sue and Tai Chan, number one, the adorable spinoff, I think, of Cheese Sweet World or whatever it is, the adorable cat comic.
It says it's a sweet home. Cheese Sweet Home.
Yes, Cheese Sweet Home.
But it's about adorable. Cute cats. I picked it up. It's cute. Yeah, there's some funny wonderful art in it.
And so that's our you get it free with your purchase online if you tell me you want it. While supplies last, because I think I only got like 10 or 15 copies of it. So, you know.
It's if you like cute cat comics filled with onomatopoeia, this is the book for you. I liked it a lot. It's cute.
Nice. Yeah, it really is. I mean, Cheese Sweet Home is like disgustingly adorable. It really is like brain meltingly cute. So I very much enjoy it. That and What's Michael are pretty much you have all of your adorable cat needs met pretty much right there.
Yeah, this feels less weird than What's Michael. And I don't know if that makes like What's Michael just had like this kind of like other quality to it that I never could really, and that what that made it awesome.
Like, well, yeah, but the only problem this one doesn't have the cutesy language, where like What's Michael had that weird thing where they were like writing out really like saccharine sweet cutesy language, and it was like, oh man, you're that's too much. I think you brought it too far.
Yeah,
like this with no dialogue would have been like 10 times better for me, but whatever.
There's very little. It's good.
Yeah.
Also,
this I like
free. It's a cat comic, and also and this it's free. So.
Totally. So let's start with Bill and Ted Are Doomed, number one. A comic that is going to sell terribly because, you know, that's kind of how these sort of things go. But man, this book is fucking awesome.
I think there's going to be some heat behind this book. I think people are excited for it.
Because, well, I mean, they've done a bunch of Bill and Ted comics prior to this, and they were never, the Boom comics were never really, they never got much heat. But I think on the heels of this awesome movie, I think maybe people are going to be excited because, fuck, I loved this movie. Like,
yeah, I didn't see it. I want to see it, but I haven't seen
it. I'm telling you, I left that movie feeling better than when I went in. You know, it's one of those movies that you're just like, you're happy it exists and it makes the world a better place by existing. And it just feels like everything about it is so positive and fun. I was oh man, thank you. Oh, awesome.
Yeah. I mean, with our day-to-day lives, we don't really get a lot of that these days. So I'm kind of torn with like, I missed it at the drive-in. I don't assume it's still at the drive-in, and so I'll have to watch it on TV.
It should stay there forever. It should always be at the drive-in. I gotta say
I'm checked out with movies as far as like I just don't know what's going on with the movies. But I
didn't even see New Mutants. What am I doing?
Yeah,
I somehow didn't see New Mutants.
I guarantee I will like New Mutants just because of the fact that everyone hates it.
I haven't heard that. Maybe I haven't been paying enough attention.
Oh, it's been like universally panned, but I don't care. I,
I mean, I'm excited about it just for the characters. I like a lot of the actors, and I love the characters that are in it, so I'm going to fucking love it, whatever.
I find that often the stuff I hate is the stuff that everyone... stuff I like is the stuff that everyone hates. Anyway,
I mean, I've already said that I liked the Fantastic Four movie when I saw it in the theater. So my opinion does not belong on the.
I was one of the
opinion.
Only people I know that didn't have a negative take of Ang Lee's Hulk. Everyone hates that movie, and it was actually one of my favorites.
Wow, you have out. Loved movies me there, because that movie, you know, if you took maybe 55 minutes of that lady crying in a cave out of that movie, I might have been all right with it. But they love putting Steven Tyler's daughter in a cave and having her cry.
Yeah,
man, that is everybody's favorite thing.
I have to revisit it because I haven't seen it in a while. But what I like about it is that it's the first one that like treated the movie screen like there were panels on it, and it had like that kind of like, it wasn't just like silly swipes and like things like wipes and whatever like Star Wars, but like it was like there would be multiple scenes happening on screen at the same time. Like I thought that was really fucking cool. It was like I don't know, the CGI is probably pretty bad, dated. I haven't seen it.
I the CGI definitely doesn't hold up, but man, I mean, Ang Lee, you can't deny Ang Lee as a director anyway.
Right.
But anyway, there are so many more comics to get to. So let's talk about Ice Cream Man Presents Quarantine Comic Special number 1.
Okay, but can we also mention just buy Bill and Ted's comic because it's great?
Oh, yes, buy Bill and Ted's comic because it is great.
Yeah, the Bill and Ted comic. But yes. Ice Cream Man, Quarantine.
Yeah. Oh, Evan Dorkin, Roger Langridge. Like dream team of creators on this thing. Absolutely, it is awesome. Buy it.
Yeah. I felt like we kind of like got on that movie tangent about Bill and Ted's, and we didn't talk about the fact that this comic is like by longtime Bill and Ted comic writer artist Evan Dorkin, who does awesome. He's awesome, and then Langridge is fucking awesome. It's definitely gonna be a great one, and also Ice Cream Man is great. And I feel like I botched that segue.
So Quarantine Comics Special number 1. This is a collection of issues that were supposed to be digital only to support the going to be hugely successful Quora TV show on the network that is never going to be a thing because nobody wants to watch shit on their phones.
Is it Quibi?
Quibi, yes, that's what it is, not Quora.
Oh, is that... Wait, what does that have to do with Ice Cream Man?
Ice Cream Man was developed as a TV show for that network, which is why all of the crazy... I don't know.
I did not know that.
Yeah, That's why it went speculator nuts and why you can never find the covers you want, because people are like, oh, this is worth money for some reason. But it's nice that, you know, that speculators are buying good comics for once, though. So that's cool.
Yeah. Hey.
But these are really good. And this is the same deal that they did before. This was a benefit to help comic shops unite, to Comic Book United, to get stores back on their feet. Because we didn't exactly have a great time of it. And boy, do I ever regret not signing up for that fucking money. Jesus Christ, what was I thinking? there's no way. I'm just going to back off of that. And then it turned out that there's like actual money on the table there. And I was like, I probably could have used that. Whoopsie. I'll just take out a loan. That'll be fine. Oh, well. Transformers Galaxies number 9 is out. Cyberpunk 2077 Trauma Team number 1, based on the Keanu Reeves video game.
I was wondering what the deal was with that. The comic is pretty high quality. It looked good.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be one of those ones. Unfortunately, with all these video game titles, basically what happens is because they're not the people who are video game fans don't follow comics. So this will sit on the shelf for 2 weeks and then 25 people will come looking for it and it will sell out. So and that's like every video game tie-in is always like that.
Yeah, it's like the parent that likes comics realizes that their kid likes you know, Warhammer 40K. So then goes and buys, I know it's not a video game, but like, you know, goes out and buys them the stack of comics. So like, what do you have? I'm trying to think of like one.
Mortal Kombat was like that too. That was another big one.
Silent Hill is what I was thinking of.
Silent Hill had a great comic tie-in.
Yeah, I bought all the Silent Hill comics for my nephew.
Those were really good. They're really hard to find now.
Or at least I bought as many as I could find.
The carnival came to town, and
it was actually Hendrix. My ringtone is Machine Gun, and that's what it was. But I forgot to silence my phone because I'm an asshole. So I'm really sorry about that.
I don't think I have mine silenced. It's just nobody wants to talk to me. Oh wait, no, it is silenced.
Yeah, mine is almost always silenced, and for some reason, it isn't right now. Anyway,
The Marked number 7 is out. And Marvel's Spider-Man, The Black Cat Strikes, number 5, the video game tie-in that nobody at our store buys, so I just have stopped carrying it. And The Rise of Ultraman, number 1, is out.
Oh, yeah.
Which very excited about. I thought it was really fun. I was, weirdly, the thing I was disappointed in was the thing that I'm usually the most stoked about. Like, they did those like little interstitial pages that were like, here's a cutesy thing with Pigumon. And I was like, fucking A. I love Pigumon. He's adorable little weird pig monster. And they kind of weren't very funny at all, which kind of bummed me out.
Yeah. There was a little bit of a miss with this for me because the first issue is essentially, it's just half of the first issue. Like, it ends at a part where, like, the comic shouldn't end there. It should be the middle of the comic.
Yep, and, like, I agree.
It was a little that. And then the humor strips were not great. But there is, like, this really awesome Michael Cho illustrated spy backup feature with, a kaiju thing that is beautiful and absolutely made. I think that this is ultimately going to be interesting enough for me to stick with for at least a few issues. And
ultimately,
I didn't say that, but I should have.
Sorry. I thought it was great as a longtime Ultraman fan. I was stoked. This brought all the stuff to the table that I wanted, and I think that they knew what a person like me was going to want out of this comic. And so that's probably why they cut it right where they did.
You're not going to get the thing you want until the second issue.
Also, they made space for that backup so that I could get a monster. Because normally,
that monster looks cool too.
It's like you got a classic Ultraman monster that I really enjoyed running down the street, terrorizing people. And that's the great thing about Ultraman monsters is that they're not always building sized. Sometimes they're running down the street and they're, you know, guy in a suit sized. And it's just fun to see people terrorized by those.
Yeah, I think this one's in the sewer, actually. It's like a sewer, like a little mini baby kaiju in the sewers. It's great. Michael Cho is an amazing artist. He normally just does covers. He doesn't do a lot of interior stuff that I know of. And he's amazing. So the art is great.
Yep.
Definitely worth
big into it. Let's see. That is a phrase that people use all the time. Big into it.
Big into it. Mega. Big into it. Dude, mega.
Dude, I'm big into it. Sonic the Hedgehog 31, Reaver number 11 is out. Ravencroft number 5. Star number 5 is out. I think that might be the end of this miniseries. Is that correct?
I don't know. I haven't been paying attention.
No, I think it might actually be continuing. And a book that I would really like to talk about, it's way down on this list because, you know, again, another big Marvel crossover that kind of didn't have the juice that it really, you know, that they thought it would, Empire. But this is Empire Fallout Fantastic Four number 1. This came out and Empire Aftermath Avengers number 1 came out as well. But Fallout Fantastic Four is the most important one because all sorts of shit goes down in this. This is like the most chock full of like plot issue of the entire, like there's more plot in this one issue of comic than there was in the entire Empire series. You know, there was a giant
interesting
battle, but I mean, we get back a classic character that has been missing from the Marvel universe for 5 years. We get, maybe I'm overestimating that, but it seems like about 5 years.
No, it's about right.
Okay. Actually, I guess that's technically two Marvel characters we've been missing. We get a massive status quo change for the Fantastic Four, basically probably going to lead into either a fracturing of the Fantastic Four into two different groups, or at least an interesting dynamic for the Thing. I'm really excited about it because I like the new characters that have been added from this Thing. If you have been following Empire at all, or if you read the Fantastic Four leading up to this, there was an Empire tie-in where you met these characters, and they're going to become a bigger deal. This issue is awesome. Like, 4 stars on this issue, and again,
great.
If you have any interest in following the Fantastic Four going forward, you probably should read this issue because it's going to tell you why all of this stuff happens. So,
yeah, I got to wrap my head around what happened in Empire now that it's over, and I will do that, and how I will do it is definitely through the Fantastic Four, because I like, as long as the art's good, I'm all over Fantastic Four. I think it's a great series, but I love the idea of a lot of the shit that's in this issue. It looks great. Sean Isoxi is the artist, and Dan Slott's writing it, and I don't know. I haven't read it, but it's gorgeous,
I think is funny is that there is a status quo change for the Thing, and I was like, well, this has to have happened before. Wait, no, I don't think it's ever happened before.
Interesting. So
that's interesting that you could do something this big that has never happened to him before in his life. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, this may have happened before, so I'm not going to spoil it because it is literally the point of the issue.
Yeah, but I'm not really sure what the Thing is about.
Okay,
the Thing,
perfect.
That you're talking, but it's
interesting.
I would side with you. It's definitely never happened before.
Perfect. So next up is Web of Venom Wraith number one. As somebody who wrote a comic called Rad Wraith, and everyone in the world said, "What the fuck is a wraith?" and now the word wraith is fucking everywhere. I'm like, hey.
I mean, everyone who ever read ROM knows what a wraith is.
Fucking A, exactly. anyone who saw The Wraith with Charlie Sheen and Clint Howard. Oh,
ooh,
God,
Clint Howard.
Clint Howard with like huge hair and like crazy sunglasses. It's like the most Clint Howardy he ever is. Yeah, it's great. It's a wonderful film. But either way, Web Venom Wraith number one is basically, so with this character, you have this, we've been introduced to Null and the King of the Symbiotes and all this other crap. And Wraith essentially is this, I don't know, he's kind of a tilting at windmills, kind of like Don Quixote character, not unlike from Guardians of the Galaxy, essentially. What's
Drax.
His face going? Drax. He's a very Drax character in that he's essentially, when Drax wanted to kill Thanos, Wraith is basically out to get Null. And he is, and we get this confrontation that this has all been leading up to. And it basically, the whole point of this issue is to get you that big fight. And that's the conclusion to that little story arc about him, and to deliver one big piece of plot information into the giant Null story that's about to come up. And it is a big deal. So it's an interesting concept, and there will be a new weird character. And I have a feeling I know who it is, but I'm not 100% sure.
Hmm.
Speculators clearly think they know who it is because the issue where he shows up is blown the fuck up. So
interesting. The whole issue that I did, it's not like I was interested in it because, I think I got kind of heat that it was like a big issue for the week. And, I looked at it and it is very spaghetti Western. I thought it was really cool looking. And if you're following that saga, then it's definitely an important piece of that. It's cool.
Yeah.
Looks great.
Totally. I dug it. So, Magnificent Miss Marvel number 14, Batman and the Outsiders 16.
No, is it really the Magnificent Miss Marvel?
It sure is.
It sounds that show, the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yes. So she has been magnificent for 14 issues.
The Magnificent Miss Maisel. Marvel.
Marvel. Oh, shit. Yeah, that's coming. Hawkman number 17. Or, 27.
Hawkman 27. It was good. If you like the Justice Society, if you read the Justice Society book for a long time, which I imagine there were like a fair amount of people who did,
it was a
fairly popular series.
Huge.
It's even like one of the artists who drew it. Like, it's cool, man. Yeah, no, this was a great like Justice Society with like, if you watched, Justice Society, it's worth it.
I totally missed that. That's great. Awesome.
It's like all Justice Society, the whole comic, except for Hawkman and Hawkgirl look weird, but then when they look in a mirror, they look like regular Hawkman. I don't know. It's a thing. I didn't get because I don't read Hawkman regularly. I just Justice Society.
Green Lantern season 2 number 7 is out.
Man, you're hitting all my favorites.
This is the introduction of the new super team for the Green Lanterns. What is it? The Ultra Warriors? The something or other?
It ends with I don't know what they're, if they're like, I haven't, like, just, I looked at the last page. It's that Volcano Green Lantern and the cool
the Mega Mortals. That's what it is.
Mega Mortals. Yeah, there's just, it's cool. This book looks great. I haven't read anything.
Good stuff. Something is Killing the Children number 10 is out. Joker Harley Criminal Sanity number 5 is out. And it's still not very good. Dark Knight's Death Metal Trinity Crisis number 1 is out. And this book is, I mean, they've all been good so far. I hate to say it, but just like every single one of these dumb issues is great. And this one in particular looks like one of those books that you want to ignore. Like, when I look at the cover, I'm like, this is one that I can definitely skip. And it turned out to be really, really good. Well, I mean, it's just awesome. So, I mean, because it is all about all of the crises in the DC universe. It's that busy billions of fucking people on every page and just so, so full of stuff, but in that classic DC way. And whoever was doing it, I don't know the team, but let's see, who was the artist? Oh,
it's
Francis
Scott
Manipul.
Snyder and okay, Francis of course. Manipul.
Okay, so no wonder. He manages to capture, he catches each style of each crisis when he's drawing it in a really nice way, where like when they get to Final Crisis and everything, there's a really cool redesign for Final Crisis as well, which was
it's
really,
gorgeous.
Really cool.
Can I also say there's Bat-Mazo in it? Oh, man.
There's so many cool characters in this that have never been in anything before. I was into so many of them, and I loved the reveal for one of the big characters when they're like in the middle of the fight. It was almost like they were making fun of the Batman Superman movie, but in a very cool way. I liked that reveal quite a bit. Good stuff. Good fucking stuff.
I would also say just if you followed Final Crisis, like when you got to the end of Final Crisis and there's that two issue Superman thing came out, and it was like, this is the most bonkers fucking thing I've and it was just like this weird part of this overall thing that wasn't even part of the main series, and it was awesome. This feels really cool, like on that level. The art is so good, and the like, I don't know, I'm really excited about reading this. There's some cool stuff in
Crisis. It was definitely one of my favorite books this week. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 109 is out. We're continuing to delve into this world that is Mutant Town. It's a weird, the turtles cool have cover. gotten very weird at this point. I like it, but I think that they've gone so far into the anthropomorphic animal world that it's like almost a furry comic at this point, which I mean, it kind of is. I mean, it kind of has been for a while. Like, I mean, That was one of my first conversations with one of the Turtles guys, was them talking about Anthrocon. So they definitely, like, they appeal to that audience, but it's almost like they've kind of doubled down on it in this series. There's lots of anthropomorphic animals in this, like to a, like, Usagi Yojimbo level. It's weird.
You know, I should say, I'm sorry I laughed, like, mockingly. Like, I don't want to yuck anyone's yum.
You know, and that is another thing, is that's something that is kind of weird to me, because it is, like, such a great target for a joke, obviously. Yeah. I mean,
I think it's weird. Just like, it was funny to me. Like, you're sorry,
right? Of course, but it's also, yeah. You know, it's definitely one of those things. I would put decent money that, you know, 20 years from now, people are going to be like, "Oh God, I can't believe someone was making fun of furries." You know, that's, you know, because it is legitimately like a lifestyle choice, and, you know, hey man. Not my thing, but you know what? Do whatever makes you happy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I just don't want to alienate any potential listeners. I feel like someone might like the Venn diagram of comic book reader and, I mean, clearly and is like,
yeah.
Especially if there's entire, like, mainstream comic book series that are, like, leaning. I liked the cover. It didn't have, like, a mouse or something on it. Like, it was like a mouse dude.
I like the alternate cover is really fun. The Eastman cover. Yeah, nice. I really dug that quite a bit.
That was cool. Bizarre. Yeah, I liked it.
But, like, Turtles has gone, basically my point was not to get into the furry stuff, but more just like the idea that it has gone so far into this, like, world building thing, and it's gone so far from its roots that obviously something like The Last Ronin kind of has to happen. So the next thing that is coming out for this series is The Last Ronin eventually. I can't remember how long we have before that comes out, but it's basically an old man Logan of one of the Turtles who is the last one, and he's, you know, roaming the countryside being, you know, Yojimbo essentially. So
will it be Donatello?
My guess is that it's going to be Michelangelo.
Yeah, he's the most popular.
Well, no, Raphael is 100% the most popular, but he's the one that everyone would expect. And so the idea of having the dark, brooding character be Michelangelo seems to me like the most, like, weird choice to make it kind of a, I don't know.
I feel like it would be Leonardo or Donatello, because I feel like Michelangelo or Raphael would burn out before the other two. Like, just with their, like, the kind of energy that those characters have.
Michelangelo was just partying too fucking hard.
He partied too hard, and then
he's Leonardo, a party dude. What do you want, Raphael, man?
Oh yeah, but he parties to excess sometimes. You know, you can only go so far before, you know, you can't come back.
It's so true.
But then the Raphael would just, like, be like balls out, like, just like, ah, I'm gonna kill everybody, and this, and then he'd burn out, you know.
Like, I feel like
style better to burn.
I feel
out
like choosing him would be too obvious. It would be too obvious to have Raphael be the last one.
I see a Leonardo, but I would prefer Donatello anyway.
Okay, so now we have X Factor number 3 out. We're getting so we went. Really strange. This I was like,
this
I
by,
know exactly.
Is this the
I
one
was
by Alan Moore, Alan Moore's daughter.
I'm sorry. What?
Is this the one that is by Alan Moore's daughter, Leah?
Is that a thing?
I think so.
Lee Williams.
Yeah, Leah. No, I don't know. I just saw the name and I thought that's who it was. Repian or something.
No. Thank God. That would have been really strange.
Okay, my bad.
Okay. Huh. Interesting. Story by Hickman, and the writer is Lee Williams.
Lee Williams. Okay. I think I just saw the first name and I thought it was that other writer.
But either way, it went a strange direction. This came out of the gate. It was like, okay, perfect. We're going to get back to our roots and we're going to do this cool detective story because that's what we've got. And then it's like issue 3, we're in fucking Mojo World. which is as far from any normal thing as you can get. I mean, obviously, that was where all of the X Factor of, you know, the thousands, the aughts that I really loved so much, you know, the Shatter Stars and all that stuff came from there. But still, Mojoverse is like, Mojoverse and Arcade are like about as far out as you can go for X stories. And I'm surprised that they went there this quickly. Like, that's usually like issue 30 something. You can get into your Arcade and Mojoverse stories, but this one early on, we're going for it.
Yeah.
I still enjoy it. Yeah. So this is this is a new streaming Mojoverse story. Everybody wants the X people on their streaming channel and blah blah blah. And basically they're going through all of these places just trying to find out who murdered somebody on Krakoa. So
gotcha. That looked interesting.
And speaking of interesting, that's the worst fucking segue I've ever had in my life. Justice League Odyssey number 24.
Oh man.
God, I'm still bummed that this thing is canceled. It's just it bums me out.
Me too. This has an epic dark side rant. There's crazy shit that goes down in this issue. At the end. Awesome. Like, I love Justice League Odyssey and I am super sad it got canceled.
Yeah. I just want like a really nice omnibus edition of all of the Abnett stuff from this run.
Nice. Yeah.
I would be all on board to have that. I would own that, definitely.
I think Captain he's done Marvel, like two trades worth.
Yeah, he's done about two trades worth.
Like about half of it.
Yep. Because I didn't really care for the first part of it. It wasn't really my thing. And then when he took over, I was like, holy fuck, this thing just got really, really interesting really quick.
Yeah, unfortunately, it just never got past that, I think, that bump. Yeah. Although maybe it would have gotten canceled anyway. It's still really good. Definitely check it out.
Yup. Captain Marvel 21. This is the end of the Empire tie-in, obviously, and the end of her being an accuser. So thank God that's over.
Yeah.
And she's moving on.
Nice.
Oblivion Song number 27 is out. Marauders number 12 is out. Always awesome.
Yeah, that
was
cool.
I did not get to read it. It was in my stack and it was too far down, unfortunately, but I'm very excited to read
it. It looked cool, for sure.
X-Force 12, I did read that and now I kind of understand what's happening. I had kind of I couldn't really figure out where they were going with this story. And now now I get it, because essentially Rasputin's Colossus's brother, I think.
Mikhail.
Yes. Is that his brother? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a mutant, but I can't remember what he does.
He has the sword now, which is going to be part of the big X of Swords crossover thing. That's the whole point. Essentially the sword that contains Xavier's mind and like all of the souls and all this other shit that they need to resurrect people. So he has that now. So that's probably a big deal. And also he has Quentin's body. He's got Quentin Quire and he drags him to his lair in this issue.
Wow.
And he's going to kill him and process his body into usable stuff using the same technology that they fucked with Domino's body with.
Oh no, I don't like that.
Yeah, so that is the the plan there. Superman 25 is out.
You know, I wanted to shit all over this, but I actually looked at it. I didn't. It's not anything I'm buying or anything like that. But like, pretty solid Superman comic. First issue of like a new arc. Like, it wasn't bad.
Yeah, yeah. I feel bad. I mean, it's definitely. I mean, this is the beginning of the end. Because now that comic companies have latched onto speculators and they're now pandering to them with like solicits, this is like, we're going to see the 90s happening much quicker than it was before. This is another one of those DC solicits that's like, new villain alert, Symar is here. He's going to be on all your t-shirts. Just kidding. Superman is never going to be a thing. I don't.
I hear you. It's actually, yeah, there's a reason why, and I could go into it, but like, no one cares. Like, it's just, Superman's just too fucking powerful. Like,
yep.
They need to get, Superman is not ever going to be grim, gritty. Like, it's just not going to work. And like, they just won't do the character. Like, as I think a lot of the DC stuff would just be done better if it was like treated as material that was like for kids. Like, right. it's not for like fucking, don't make it for 40-year-old people. They like dumb shit that isn't cool. Like, speaking as a 45-year-old person, like, I like dumb shit that isn't cool. I don't know.
No, I definitely
Superman
agree.
Is just hard.
I think Superman is very difficult. I would have loved to have seen Superman treated the way they're treating Shazam. But essentially, what DC, when they got these properties together for this new relaunch, they essentially were like, all right, Shazam is the kid Superman. He's the same character as Superman. And we're, you know, like, and that was kind of their approach to it. Obviously, they treated him correctly. Shazam more than Superman, even, honestly.
I gotta
if
watch
you
the
like
movie.
Shazam, I think you would really dig the Shazam comic. It is, but I don't know how many people dig Shazam. I mean, most of the people who have a history with the character are dead because they were kids in the 20s.
The original Shazam comics and the original Superman comics, for decades afterwards, even for both of them, are awesome. Yep. And like, I don't like the idea of whatever. It's not about what I like. I should divorce myself from that. But like, when you try to make Superman fit into a world with Batman, it doesn't work. And I think that Bendis does the best job of anyone of kind of bringing that Christopher Reeve movie quality to Superman.
I agree.
Which is, on paper, is great, but it just, like, I don't know. I whatever, the issue was great. I want Superman to like fight. Like, I want Superman to stand up. Like, in my ultimate Superman comic, he'd be on the protest lines right now, like being like, oh, what, you brought a gun to the protest? Cool.
Right.
And then just like knock him fucking
exactly.
silly and shit. You know, like, that's Superman is like the guy that can do like the cool shit that you wish you could do with impunity
and
in a cool way.
And he is, and it's weird because DC has to tread this line, and I think that they are divorcing themselves from this line that they have been treading previously, because their idea for a long time was to, I'm not going to say that they were pandering to the right, but they were allowing characters that right-wing people would like to not do things that the characters would have done in the past. Superman is a social justice warrior. There's no fucking way around it.
Oh, fucking absolutely.
I mean, from the beginning, he is a social justice warrior.
Yeah, no,
and,
absolutely.
And to to try and hide that fact in order to make sure that he has a broader appeal, I think DC broke the character in a lot of ways to be like, no, he's only fighting space gods. He doesn't give a shit about people. And it's like, giving a shit about people is literally what Superman is all about.
Oh, absolutely.
It's why people care about him. He's on this planet because he sees that he has this ability, and he thinks that these dumb little apes are capable of so much more, and he wants to protect them. And he's like, he's trying to help us grow as a civilization. I think that's amazing.
I mean, there was a point where he just became like a god, as opposed to like just like a superhuman. And I think that's the, like, you know, Bendis tries to like kind of do that. Like, Superman could still, like, if he wanted to, he could still fly backwards around the world and make time turn backwards, so Lois Lane comes back to life. You know, like, and that to me is just like, just fuck that shit.
Yeah.
Like, he runs around, he fucking stands up for fucking people who are oppressed, and that's the humanity and the wish fulfillment of Superman.
Right.
Anyway, whatever. We're fucking,
but it's so hard. I know, but it is
also the Transformers came out.
And you know what? The problem with the way that they write the Transformers is that the joints don't bend around.
I have no idea what the problem is with the way they write Transformers. I've never thought of it.
I don't think there really is any problem whatsoever. Okay, so Nightwing 74. We are one issue away from getting Nightwing back.
Yeah, and one issue away from a comic that might not suck.
And Wonder Woman 762 is out, which I would like to talk about for a little for a hot moment.
All right.
I liked this comic, and I'm enjoying a lot of parts of the artwork. Her redesign is kind of freaking me out a little bit. I don't know how I feel about her tiny head. It's like there's something about her face and the giant headband and her tiny face that is
okay.
I kind of don't like it.
I got this. All right, you ready? Okay. So the reason why is because the last two issues of Wonder Woman have been by a fill-in artist who is not an untalented artist. He was initially like the Young Justice fill-in artist. His name is Carlo Barberi, and he's got a great kind of like animated, like almost kind of kid style, like right. kid-oriented style, like Young Justice, like classic Young Justice, like not DC Universe Young Justice, right. but like yeah. the Peter David comic and in Impulse and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work on Wonder Woman.
It's interesting.
I think it's a fill-in.
Okay. Now, I have to say that the big pages that are in this, it's my only issue is the close-ups and her like her face and some other weird things that I'm like, I don't know. It just doesn't look right to me for some reason. But man, the big splash at the beginning of this issue is gorgeous, and it sets a tone for the book that I think is kind of, I wouldn't say revolutionary, but like it brings it back to a point in Wonder Woman that is where I really enjoyed it. And this story arc, I think, is a very smart type of story for them to do. It's an obvious thing, and I would love to see them milk this for, you know, another 10 issues even. The Wonder Woman, Max Lord, like, buddy cop team where it's like, I don't like you, and you don't like me, and you murdered a bunch of people that I loved, and, you know, that kind of thing. Reformed Max Lord being on the side of the angels kind of thing, and it's, and, you know, she maybe murdered him in another life. And, you know, like, he's such a dickhead, but he can do all these terrible things that are interesting to the storyline. You know, like, somebody's being a total asshole in this story, and he makes them think that they're a dog. And then, you know, obviously Wonder Woman's like, nah, come on, you can't make people think they're dogs. All right, fine, but I'm going to scar him for life, and, you know, whatever.
This storyline is very good. I like this current Wonder Woman storyline. They had some like really hot artist as like announced as like the artist of Wonder Woman, and they did one issue, and then they had Carlo Barberi on two issues. And Barberi's style, like, he's a journeyman. He's he can churn out a comic, and he's quality. He's a solid artist.
Yeah.
But it's definitely not like a style. Like, I can understand all of the things that you said about the art within the concept, the context of like just knowing that this is a guy who's really fast, and they needed someone because their superstar, whoever it was, couldn't do two issues in a fucking row.
Agree.
Anyway.
Yep. So I will say high marks for Wonder Woman. I definitely loved the issue.
It's a great story.
And for everybody else, they're calling this the first appearance of Liar Liar, who is I think that was an interesting choice too. Especially given this, the origin of this character is revealed in this issue, and I think it was a good choice.
Yeah.
The Flash, Flash 761 is out this week, and a great issue of Spider-Man is the last thing that's out this week. And holy crap, what a great issue. Really enjoyed it. This is, we're at a high point of the Sin's Rising story, where Sin Eater has been curing all of these supervillains of the evil that's in them, and taking their superpowers and redistributing them to mobs of people who are now coming to what's Ravencroft? What's the name of the insane asylum?
Oh,
in the Marvel
Willowbrook
universe?
Or something? Or yeah, no, Raven.
It's Ravencroft. Yeah,
Ravencroft.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, that comic came out this week.
And Ravencroft is now headed by Norman Osborn. And so they're coming to essentially kill Norman Osborn, which puts Spider-Man in a position to go, you know, if he shows up and cures Norman Osborn, probably that's going to save a bunch of lives in the long term, but I can't let it happen. So he has to go do this. And then a bunch of his pals, his super pals, are like, hey, we think this is a terrible idea. We kind of don't want you to save him. And so it's basically Spider-Man versus the remainder of the spider pals from the spider.
Yeah, it's all the spider ancillaries. And it also, so yeah, it sets up the next storyline, which they're advertising. Also, we didn't talk about Blackwood.
Oh, we didn't talk about Blackwood.
Which came out, which is Evan Dorkin, who we mentioned during the Bill and Ted part, and Veronica and Andy Fish, and color assists on this one by Greg McKenna. I got to shout out Blackwood, Morning After number 4. That means it'll be out in trade because it's the last issue in the series.
Yes.
So check those out. Like, if you
Very
want like
awesome.
A really cool, like really smartly written and beautifully illustrated Lovecraftian college, it's like a college-based Lovecraftian lore kind of thing, and there's been two series now. It's a great series.
Really fun. Excellent. So that's it. You can follow us at Coast City Comics and at I'm Actually Comics. You can buy things at coastcitycomics.com, and that's the thing.
There's a trade of Animal Man comics.
Ooh, there's a really nice deluxe hardcover. The second deluxe hardcover from the Animal Man, from the Morrison Animal Man run.
There's probably some other stuff.
There's plenty of other stuff. Lots of toys this week.
The
new G.I.
Joe
line showed up, which is really cool. The G.I. Joe classified
line. They are
actually
great figures.
Yeah, they really are. The Spawn from Mortal Kombat figure came in, and it's like one of the nicest Spawn figures I've ever seen.
Wait, what? Spawn Mortal Kombat?
Yeah, because he was in Mortal Kombat. So this is the design of Spawn from when he was the add-on character in Mortal Kombat. And it's awesome. It's a really, really nice looking figure. We got those.
Cool.
We got the vintage collection Slave Ones from Star Wars. They are also
gorgeous. Are brand new? Those are cool.
Yeah, they just came in today, and they are ungodly expensive, but, you know, $150 bucks a pop. But they are, if you are looking for the nicest version of the Slave One, that's probably going to be it.
And you can put you can put your Luke Skywalker in there.
You can put a Luke Skywalker in it. What else? I'm trying to think if there's anything else really exciting.
You got those cool new t-shirts.
We got lots of cool t-shirts. The new Rad Wraith shirt, the new Coast City Comics shirts. Rad Wraith is out, and you can buy all that stuff from us on our website or come in. We are now open Wednesday through Saturday, 2 to 6. And of course you can still pick up from 11 to 6 whenever you want if you do an online order, and that's the story. That's pretty much all I got for you.
We covered a lot of ground.
I think we did it. I think we've unraveled everything.
We fixed Superman.
That's it. It's fucking Zoom. It's literally all I do is, like, especially in the movie podcast, I fucking bowl everyone over because I'm like, I don't know if you're just going to stop because I don't know what's happening on your end because you're a second behind me. I'm just crossing my fingers this works right.
What if we had like a little stop go, like a green and red like thing that we held, and we'd just be like,
that would actually be a really good idea. I have actually considered, I've been thinking about this, and I'm going to look around online and see what people are doing. I'd like to see what Earwolf is doing because they have like the nicest podcasting studio, and they have been doing in-house guests. And I have so much Lexan kicking around the store, more than any other normal human being would have, because a bunch of our fixtures were made of Lexan and I broke them all down. And so
what
I have these, it's basically bulletproof glass. It's big, long
sheets. Oh, that stuff.
Yeah. And it's soundproof. It's the stuff that you would make a drum cage out of if you were like Edie Brickell in the New Bohemians and you didn't want drums to come through your acoustic instruments, but you still had a kit drum. Like that. It's that shit. So I could build booths in the store, move the podcasting equipment over there, and maybe do a safe distanced podcast where I run, you know, 20 feet of wire, you know, and everybody has to wear a mask while you're talking on I mean, I could wear a mask and do this. Take a swig of water every now and again. It's fine.
Man, I saw Lady Gaga perform at the Video Music Awards. She had a mask on and did her old fucking live dancing around shit, playing on her brain
piano.
That's
awesome. Holy shit. She has a brain piano?
She has a piano that's shaped like a brain.
Holy fuck, that's awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Actually, Lady Gaga rules.
Yeah, I do not disagree with you at all. Awesome. So that's it. Go buy Lady Gaga's new album. It's out today. Chromatica. Nah, it's really good.
Is it really? Does she have an album out today?
Not today, but yeah, a few weeks ago.
Shit. Okay.
And it is called Chromatica, though. I do know that.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I've seen her live. She's great. I've seen her live twice.
Literally, she sold me on her whole deal. I saw a picture of her early on when she was like blowing up as like this big, you know, she was this big phenomena. And then I saw on her, somebody sent me something from her Instagram where she was fangirling, like looked like she had met God because she was standing next to the singer of Saxon. And I was like, nice. Who the fuck are you? You are more awesome than I think you are. And she covers Iron Maiden songs from time to time.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
when I saw her in Chicago, it was Lollapalooza, you know, it was like, you know, festival show or whatever. But like when I saw her, like I lived in Chicago then. It was that year that I lived there. And it was all metalheads in the front row, like all metalheads, like the whole front, like at least like they were there all day for Lady Gaga, sitting through every band, which for them, unfortunately, included Devo. What a bummer.
Oh,
but
man.
Oh, that was a fucking sick Lollapalooza. My nephew and I went. But anyway.
It always makes me want to tell my most depressing Devo story. So I worked at Newbury Comics for a short period of time, and there was one tiny benefit that I was given from this thing. They said, hey, we've got tickets for you. If anybody wants to claim these VIP tickets to Devo, we've got them. And so it's like you get meet and greet and you get in the tent and you're like, it's like really amazing tickets because something happened and some higher up in the company couldn't take them, whatever. And he gave them out. And I was like, I will take those. And they gave them to me. I came into work the next day and I was like, that's so great. Or I said, I'll take them. And they said, they're at will call, blah, blah, blah. We'll do this. I came in the next day and I was like, so when is this Devo concert? And they were like, it was last night.
Like, oh, no.
You were supposed to leave then to drive. Like you were supposed to go now. And I was like, oh, fuck me.
Damn. No, we had my nephew, the first show my nephew and I saw together, and I won't go down this road too long because whatever, but the first show we saw together after like a lifetime of like his whole growing up, like we talked music all the time as soon as he was old enough, like he always loved music. The first show we saw was Devo, and it was in 2009, and it was a Lollapalooza pre-show. They did like a club show, and we had to stand through like 2 hours at least of like hand-picked Perry Farrell DJs, and including like my hatred of Perry Farrell honestly is legendary, but like it was cemented like absolutely that night. I hated him so much, it was palpable. But anyway, eventually they left and Devo came out and it was great. And they Mark Mothersbaugh had a fanny pack full of Super Balls with little happy faces on them. He was just like throwing these Super Balls out the whole time. And my nephew caught one and a piece of one of the jumpsuit, which he threw off, like the Devo jumpsuit. He tore it off. It was like a tearaway. And then the audience just literally devoured it, like they tore it to shreds. And Matthew got like one piece. He held onto it for as long as he could, and he ended up walking away with like this 2-inch strip of Devo, Mark Mothersbaugh Devo. My nephew's actually really lucky at like getting shit at shows.
We're already going down this road. One of my friends went to a like a thrift shop in Northern Maine, like in my town. Like he just wound up in my shitty town that I grew up in. And he was like, he just walked into this thing and he sent me a message and he was like, holy shit, check this out. And he found an original Devo suit, like in the plastic that was like one of the ones that they sold at shows in this place, in this, like in my crappy hometown where nothing awesome ever was. And I was like, of course, you walk into my town and the one good thing you found and brought back down to Southern Maine. Thanks.
That's fantastic. I mean, they used to, so they had like the whole catalog and all of their old records there. You could buy all that shit. That's cool.
They still do. I am still like pretty tempted to get myself a Devo COVID shield. Cause Mark Mothersbaugh,
you heard about energy dome.
Yeah. So there's an energy dome with a plastic face shield.
Oh man. No, I just want like the foldy mask with the red energy, red one. That's like a reverse energy dome for my fucking mouth and snot hole. I definitely want that.
I don't know if you heard about this, but Mothersbaugh got COVID and was Mothersbaugh was hospitalized for a really long time. I don't know if he was intubated or anything, but he was in emergency care for like 2 weeks with COVID. No. And they thought like his kids were like, it's time to say goodbye to dad. And then he pulled out of it. So yeah, that sucks.
Oh, that does suck, but it's awesome that he didn't die from it.
It is amazing that he is still alive. So yes, Devo protective equipment. You need,
they're ahead of their times, man. They were absolutely light years ahead of their time. My nephew also, I just have to shout out that he was like really good at, he got a Lemmy pick from one of the last Motorhead shows.
Oh man. Like, oh, that's awesome.
Caught a pick. Like he's like, I don't know what he's a magnet for cool shit that bands throw out.
No, oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I am jealous. God damn it.
For sure. For sure.
All right. Okay, well then, I will see you next week. And until then, have a lovely evening.
Bye. And
read lots of comics.
Yeah, buy lots of comics.
Yeah, do that too. I could use that. All right, good night.
See you, Bob. Bye. One wish.